Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. And if you have a Bible, that's good. I enjoy carrying a Bible. I don't know, there's something about it. I like carrying my Bible, but if you don't have one, we have it on the screen there for you, and that's the reason we do that, so everybody can see the words and follow along, because the word is powerful and it can change lives. And so in Matthew chapter 15, and look at verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. She crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us for the next few minutes. And Lord, get something from your word. Your word will never return void. Thank you for that. And so, God, I just pray for the next few minutes you'd give us some help. Lord, we're going to say what this woman said this morning when in our text. Lord, help me. We need your help today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. There are two kinds of worship. You've heard me talk about worship before. I heard an old man, a wise man, say this about worship. He said, you can take your sins and your sorrows and your sickness and you put it in this hand. And then you take all of your heartaches and all of your trouble and all of your problems and put them in this hand. And then you get before the Lord and just give it to him. There's two kinds of worship. We didn't read this part, but let me show you. In the first part of that chapter, in chapter 15 and verse 1, he had some dealings with the scribes and the Pharisees. And the scribes and the Pharisees thought they were better than everybody else. Watch this. Then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? And then watch what he says in verse number 8. This people, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, the upper crust, the people that thought they knew everything and they were above everybody else. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Notice the two kinds of worship. These scribes and Pharisees worship through the anger of the Lord. But this woman, when she come to worship, she come and worship the approval of the Lord. The scribes and the Pharisees, they could quote the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had it committed to memory. They grew up in church. And with all of their growing up in church, they could not worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But this woman doesn't know the Bible. This woman didn't grow up in church. This woman wasn't homeschooled. She wasn't allowed into the house of the Lord because she was a woman. They didn't allow her in the synagogue. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Jew. She was born outside of the covenant of God's covenant with Israel. but she worshiped him in spirit and in truth. The scribes and the Pharisees worshiped self-righteousness, and this woman worshiped selfless. Around all of these Pharisees worshiped around what they did and they didn't do, their convictions and who they knew and what they knew. But this woman's worship wasn't about her. It wasn't about what she had done. It was about all the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't patting herself on the back. She wasn't saying, look what I've done. She came in with her head down and her face to the ground. And she said, it's all about him. Two kinds of different worship. Everybody in this room, whether you believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, whether you're paying attention to me or not, you have a need right now in your life. You came to church. I don't know why you came, but I can promise you this. You may have come because someone invited you. Thank you for coming. You may be here because you were just passing and just said, hey, that looks like a nice church. Let me go in. Thank you for coming. But everybody in here is not here by accident. Everybody in here has a need. There are people in here that are facing devastating family problems, financial difficulties. They have a problem. This woman had a problem, and the devil was at her house. The devil was at her house destroying her very own daughter. And let me listen to me right here and right now. The devil is fighting at your house too. Well, some folks thought they was a little better than everybody. Listen, I don't know if you think you're better, but I can promise you this, the devil fights at your house just like he does at my house and just like he does at the neighbor's house and just like he does at the person across the street, across the tracks. It makes no difference. The devil is working back at your house. And he's working on our kids. This woman right here, she said, I don't need him to get rid of every burden, just the heaviest one. I don't need him to move all the mountains, just the biggest one. I don't need the whole loaf. Just give me a crumb. I don't need the whole loaf. If the whole loaf can raise Lazarus from the dead, just give me just a little bit. It'll help me along the way. This woman's was her worship. What made it work? What made this woman get God's attention? She was fighting the devil at her house, and she came to church to get away from the devil and to find help from somebody and the only person that could help her. She was concerned about her daughter. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The devil is tormenting my house. It is tormenting my kids. It's tormenting my family. I came to church this morning to get away from all of that, looking for somebody that can help me. She needed help in a desperate way. Remember, I took the boys when they were graduating from high school. I took them to a St. Louis Cardinals game. And that St. Louis Cardinals game, if I can remember, you help me now, that was the last game that David Freeze played. And I remember that that whole crowd, I don't know how many people was that, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were there. St. Louis was down by 2 runs, and it was the last inning, and there was 2 outs. And everybody, they were depending upon David Freeze to get them out. He was their last effort. He was their last resort. And boy, he gets up to bat, strike one, and it didn't make any difference. The whole crowd was going, woo, come on, come on. You're our only hope. Get us across the finish line. And I'm thinking, man, these people are crazy. Strike 2. And I'm telling you, we're sitting there and the boys are there and they're throwing Coke everywhere and fries and hot dogs and they're going. And here it comes. Here it comes down, and I'm talking about he hit it. Here it comes across. I'm talking about over the fence, and that crowd goes crazy because St. Louis won because they had enough runs on the field, and they wind up winning by 1 point. Everybody in this room, you're saying, what in the world's that got to, what St. Louis Cardinals got to do with us this morning? Let me tell you something. When you walked in this room right now, the devil is up by two and got us down by two. And we're sitting here, we come here, God, you're our last effort. You are up by the bat. The devil's got two strikes. Lord, we need you. And we come to church looking like a knot on a log, and we wonder why God won't help us. Well, why don't we give him a little praise and root him on and say, God, I need you to go over the fence for me this morning. I need you to hit a good one for me this morning. The devil's got me beat down, but I'm telling you, I know somebody that can get it across the fence. Oh, I remember that. He's our only hope, and he was this woman's only hope. She was totally dependent on Jesus Christ. Number two, she was terribly distressed. Terribly distressed. Now get this story. I'm enjoying my own preaching, whether you are or not, so sit back and enjoy it. I got just a few more minutes left. She comes in, devil's fighting back at her house. She comes to church, follow me. Comes to church. She says, Lord, I need your help. And the Bible says, he answered her not a word. Now, after today, I stand at the back door, and y'all go through and shake hands and all that kind of stuff. You say, boy, Brother Jeremy, that was you've had better sermons, and boy, oh, that was a good one. And I just sit there. You go through it and say, boy, that was a great sermon. Brother Jeremy, I just can't wait till next Sunday. You would look at me and go, man, that is the rudest preacher I've ever met in my life. He answered her not a word. And then number two, if that wasn't bad enough, the disciples, the church people, said, what are you doing here? You don't need to be in here. It's not where you go. Lord, send her away. And I'll be honest, after pastoring as long as I have, since I've been 21 years old, I've been pastoring, there are times when I've prayed, Lord, send them away. So I know where they're coming from, but let me just say, this woman came in, the Lord wouldn't even look at her, wouldn't even answer her question, and then the disciples got on to her and said, Lord, send her away. How she crieth after us. No, dummy, she wasn't crying after them. She said, I ain't coming to see y'all. I don't care what you got on. I didn't come to see your new dress or your new hairstyle. I didn't come to see you. You can't help me anyway. I'm coming to see him. He's the one that can help me. You came in here and you say, boy, they look at me. It don't matter how they look at you. Just say, move out of the way. I'm not here to see you anyway. I'm here to see him. He would say, what are you doing here? I ain't here to see you. You can't help me. I come to see him. I'm but fighting the devil back at my house, and I'm coming here because this is my last resort. I got to have some help, and I'm coming to the one that can help me. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, he wouldn't talk to her. Now the disciples want to get her out of church. And then he says, it's not, I can't help you because you're not Jewish. I can't help you. You're not Jewish. You imagine? I love going to the Mexican restaurant. I love going to the Chinese and every now and then now. And I like going to Mexican. I could do Mexican once a day. Man, I go in the Mexican restaurant. But what if after church we go into the Mexican restaurant and on the door we go in and say, there's three of us. I want to sit down, or two of us want to sit down. And they say, we can't serve you. You're not Mexican. I'd be fighting mad. I'd burn the place down. We better cut that out. Anyway, we can't help you. You're not Hispanic. You're not Mexican. We can't help you. This woman says, Lord, I need your help. He said, I can't help you. You ain't Jewish. I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not of the house of Israel. I can't help you. What would you do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll quit church. I'll show him. Can't help me? I'll quit church. I tell you what I'll do. I'll quit tithing. If he can't help me, I'll quit tithing. I got news for you. God ain't broke. You ain't helping him none. Some people, when they get the no answer, God says, no. I tell you why, nobody tells me no. Even growing up, my mom and dad didn't tell me no. I stomped it back like this, and I got what I wanted until I stopped, pitched a fit, until I got what I wanted. My mom and daddy never told me no, and God ain't gonna tell me no. I remember growing up, have three kids. One of them's back here in the sound booth. And listen, Walmart is smarter than you give them credit for. Dollar General, all those places. Because you go to the checkout, and they got 27 aisles, but ain't the three working. And they got 47 people standing in one aisle trying to get through and check out. Unless you want to go to the self-checkout. And if I go to the self-checkout, I go to the break room and get a drink and a snack in the break room. At Walmart, they said, you don't work here. I said, I just did. I checked myself out. I'm going to the break room. But they're smarter than you give them credit for, because they got the toys and they got the little trinkets and they got the little gum and they got Snickers and they got the drinks and they got, while you're standing there waiting and you got kids, they're like, Dad, can I have, no. Dad, can I get this toy? No. Dad, can I, what? So-and-so's got one of these. I need one of these. And it's a sucker and it's a ring sucker and you, it's a blow pop and I need one. No. What happens when God tells you no? And this is what most kids do. Okay, okay, okay. And then you lie to the kid and you say, if you don't quit, I'm going to whoop you. Knowing good and well you ain't going to whoop him. He said, son, I can't kill you. They got cameras in here. I can kill you when I get home. But I can't kill you right now. And they start. You say, Brother Jeremy, why are you doing, number one, to keep your attention, but number two, to watch this. She started worshiping him when he told her no. Let me get right over here, because that side might have missed it. She didn't start worshiping him until he told her. I said, Brother Jeremy, explain that to me. Let me explain it to you like this. Your kid in the same line. Daddy, can I have it? I want this toy. I want this. Son, no. Daddy, that's okay. If you don't get it for me, you're still the best dad I've ever had. I still appreciate you. Daddy, if you don't get me another thing, if you don't get me nothing else, you're still the best daddy. You're still the best mama that I ever had. I thank you for loving me. If you don't do anything else for me ever again, I'm going to still tell everybody I know that you're the best daddy. You're the best mama I've ever had. That gets God's attention. You say, well, what did he tell the woman no for? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if everything, Lord, I need $1 million, boom, there it is. Lord, I need a new car, boom, there it is. Lord, I need a new house, boom, there it is. Lord, I need this bill paid, boom, there it is. If he gave you everything you ever asked for, you wouldn't be fit for nothing.
But if he tells you no and you keep asking, and then he tells you no and he keeps and you keep asking, he gets to hear from you more. If he told you yes, every time you asked for something, he wouldn't hear from you as often. But the persistence, Lord, I need this. No, God, I can't. Lord, then she started worshiping. When he told that woman no, she said, all right, no. She said, Lord, if I got to crawl up under this table, and tell you how, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. I got the devil fighting back at my house. I know I'm not Jewish. I know I'm a woman. I know I don't have deserve to be here. God, I need your help. And if I have to crawl up under this table to get help, I'm going to stay here until you answer my prayer. My kid needs your help. My family needs your help. My family is in distress. I need your help. Tell me no all you want to, but I'm going to keep asking. And I'm going to keep asking, and I'm going to keep worshiping and telling you how good you are. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not good because he pays your bills. God's not good because your house payment is paid. God's not good because you got three cars. God's not good because of that, because you got a good report at the doctor. God is good when you don't get a good report at the doctor. God is still good when the house payment is 3 months behind. God is still good when they come get your car. God is still good when the doctor looks at me and says, I don't have any hope for you. He's still good. He's not good because of what he does. He's good because of who he is. And if he never gives me another thing, if he never answers another prayer, if he never blesses me one more time, I'm still on backlog praising him for what I've already got. This woman crawled up under the table, and then it gets worse. He, first of all, didn't say nothing to her. Second of all, the disciples saying, send her away. Get her out of here. She don't belong here. Get her out of here. And then third, he says, it's not right for me to give the children's bread. That's Jews. The children's bread, it's not right for me. You're not of the right lineage. You're not a Jew. She starts worshiping it. And he says, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Called the woman a dog. Now it's quiet in here because everybody in here is going, "Hey, you better not ever tell you that to me." I'll tell you right now. Better not ever call me one. All Gentiles, the Jews, they always called Gentiles dogs. And you're going, "Well, Brother Jeremy, how are you going to explain that?" I'm going to explain it to you this way. Have y'all ever seen a dog get offended? Have y'all ever seen a dog get offended because the next door neighbor's dog got a better collar? Y'all ever seen a dog get offended? I ain't been home. I had a singing Friday night, had a wedding yesterday, preached today, got to go to Darden, Tennessee tonight, preach, filling for a preacher friend of mine that's going to be out, and I'm going to go preach for him tonight at Darden. So I ain't seen my dog, and I put pictures of my dog. I love my dog, my golden retriever. I love him. And you know, I've been gone 3 days. I tell you what, I walk in there, and it's like I never left. He starts jumping and licking and carrying on. He didn't get offended because he knows he's a dog. You don't get offended when you know who you are. See, y'all was expecting a Joel Osteen sermon. Y'all was expecting me to tell you how good you are. But I think the Bible says something like this: there's none righteous, no, not one. I don't even deserve for him to even... For me to stand behind him, I don't even deserve for him to love me. He said, how'd this woman respond? He called the woman a dog. She said, yeah, Lord, you're right. I don't even deserve to be here this morning. But that's the only place I knew to come. And it's true. It ain't right to give the children's bread to dogs. But Lord, if you'll just let some fall off the table, just that little bit, it's all I need to get through. I don't need the whole loaf. I don't need the whole loaf of bread. Just let some crumbs fall off. That'll get me through. Folks, my grandma, Ballinger, mastered the chocolate pie. My mama tried to trick me one time, and she got that instant chocolate pudding and put it in there. I threw it in the garbage. I said, mm-mm, that is a disgrace to the Lord right here. She had it just right. Grandma, she had it just right. And Linda, I'm telling you, Linda has got that thing by down. Now, the first couple she tried after Grandma died, Linda said, I'm going to take this over. She got the recipe. And I'm telling you, the first couple of pies we had to eat with a straw, but I'm going to tell you, since then, she got that thing down. And Sammy, this is what I figured out. All those ingredients that are in that whole pie is the same ingredients that's in just a little bit. Let me get right over here. All the ingredients, the milk and the whatever and the flour and all of that that's in the whole pie is the same ingredients that's just in a little bit. Right over here. All the ingredients that are in that whole pie is the same ingredients. So it don't matter if I got the whole pie or just a piece, I still got the same ingredients in a little bit than I did in the whole pie. So Lord, I don't need the whole loaf, but what's gonna help me get through the day is just a little bit that'll fall from your table and I'll be satisfied, satisfied, satisfied. Just imagine what he'd do if he gave you the whole pie. But Lord, just a piece will get me through. Dalton, I need you to look up something for me because I forgot to put it up there. A verse. I ended with verse, what verse did I end with? How much? Pull up 29. Now, while you're pulling up 29... All right, hang on. Now, this right here, don't miss this one. Don't miss this. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Let me explain that to you while he's getting verse 29 ready. He left the Jewish area and he goes to a Gentile area, Tyre and Sidon. All right, verse 29. After this whole thing, her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Jesus departed from thence, came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. He went back to Israel. He left the Jewish country. He went to Tyre and Sidon, met this woman, healed her daughter. As soon as it was over, they packed up, went back to Jerusalem. You say, Brother Jeremy, it don't look like the Lord even wanted to help that woman. He wouldn't answer. Disciples wanted to get rid of her. He called her a dog. It don't even look like the Lord wanted to help this woman, Tommy. And verse 29 is the key to the whole thing. He left Israel And out of Israel, met this woman, met her need, turned around, and went back to Israel. Sometimes, when it don't look like God's helping you, He's going out of His way to meet your need where you're at. The only story. The only reason he left Israel to go into this God-forsaken area was to meet this woman. He met her knee, turned around, went right back. Only story. So this woman's going, it don't look like he's helping me. It don't look like he even wants to help me. But when it looks like he ain't helping, he may be going out of his way to come to right where you're at and meet your need this morning. Sammy's coming to piano. You say, Brother Jeremy, look, we're all Gentiles. If we got what we deserved, it sure wouldn't be the love of God. But he went out of his way to come right where I was at and meet my need in this room right now. This sermon may have not, you said, Brother Jeremy, that sermon was nice and all well and good, made me feel warm and fuzzy, but I don't need it today. You better put it in your back pocket. You might need it next week. Because he might be telling you no. And you come to this altar and he says, no, can't help you today. So why did he tell me no? He wants you to come back next Sunday. He wants you to come back next. He wants to hear from you. Some of you, when he says no, won't y'all try this? Try it. He tells you no, won't answer your prayer. Say, God, it's all right. I'm going to keep asking. But if you don't answer my prayer, you're still the best God. You're still the one and only. You've been better to me than I deserve. If you don't answer another prayer, you've been good to me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, Lord, right now to help somebody. I pray, Lord, that somebody needs that. Somebody gets some help from that. Somebody is fighting the devil back at their house, and they left the devil back at their house, and they come to church as their last effort to meet you where you are. Lord, I pray that you'd help them today. In Jesus' name, won't you stand? Who's coming?